Hi friends, welcome to the Mama.Wife Life Podcast. I'm your hostess Brittany, and each week we'll be gabbing, bragging, and unpacking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired.
Hello everybody.
Hello, we're back again.
Hi.
So, Brittany.
Yes.
What are we talking about this time?
Do you want to talk about it?
Let us know.
He asked me, he goes, what are we talking about? I said, buttholes.
What?
Oh my God.
We're not talking about buttholes. I'm kidding.
No, we're not talking about buttholes.
This week.
This week. Maybe next week. No, we're talking about the whole co-sleeping. Basically, like attachment parenting is what it's called. Is like the proper attachment parenting. Like we're baby wearing, co-sleeping, all of the things.
I have pulled up two websites for and against.
Okay. Well, you know, I have a lot to say about it.
I won't read out the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I will read out. One moment. Getting into the phone. Okay. So the first one is, should I go with for or against to start with? Do we care?
Against first.
Against. Okay.
Yeah.
Troublemaker.
Okay. Oh, so this is from the world famous WebMD. And it says, the headline, baby suffocation deaths from co-sleeping rise. February 12, 2018, so it's a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. This is a tragic little thing here. Sam and Maura Henk were over the moon. They welcomed their first child, Charlie, into the world in 2010. They quickly settled into the life with the healthy newborn and loved the joys and challenges that came with realizing their dream of becoming parents. It goes on to say that what had happened was that the dad fell asleep on a couch with the baby.
Yeah.
And somewhere in between there, the baby was caught.
And that seems to be a very...
In the couch somewhere.
Yeah, that seems to be a really big thing. But they don't... In the co-sleeping world, they don't suggest...
Consider it. Yeah.
They don't say, like, don't sleep on, like, couches or
It's also not considered co-sleeping technically because it's accidental.
Yeah, of course. Just one second.
But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. So in the next one says, and this is where it sort of leads on, Charlie was a victim of an unsafe sleep environment. About 3,500 infants die every year in the U.S. So it's a U.S. article as well. From sleep-related deaths. But while the number of babies that die from sudden infant death syndrome has been falling, the number of babies dying from accidental suffocation and strangulation in bed skyrocketed 184% from 1999 to 2015, according to new statistics released Monday by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Mm-hmm. So it goes on about SIDS, and essentially they've also said that recently co-sleeping deaths have also led to criminal charges when alcohol or drugs have been involved. And there's a story about a South Carolina woman. And then they go on about what is safe sleeping. So things like they can be in the room and all that sort of thing, but they have to be on their own cot without any cushions and the like to sort of tangle them up. It's better to not have them swaddled, they think. I think because the baby has to lie back with the arms out. Okay, so that's the general thing with the WebMD.
Yeah.
I will go to the other one, and this is from Developmental Science, and the doctor is, sorry, the writing's a little bit, Diana Devesha, PhD, and she writes about her favorite research on parenting and children's development.
Okay.
And it says, safe co-sleeping is better for babies' development than sleep training. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly tying in the two articles, but I just pulled up what I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Over 20 years ago, when our children were born, my husband Arjun and I had a sleep debate that many American parents still have today, also an American article. Mm-hmm. Where should we put the baby to sleep at night? Arjun grew up in India, and though he'd slept apart from his parents, his nanny had always slept close by. I, on the other hand, grew up in a small town, Minnesota, and had slept alone in a crib at the end of a hall. When it came to our own kids, we each argued that the other's experience must have been better. He believed in the superiority of modern Western ideas, and I was sure that the ancient practice of sleeping together was the natural state of parenthood. Mm-hmm. And then he said, we'll roll over on her, which goes back to that article, right?
Yeah.
We'll sleep better, I countered, thinking breastfeeding in bed sounded pretty good, which I can I will attest to.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, a New York Times blog post reignited the discussion for another generation of new parents. Sleep training at 8 weeks, do you have the guts? It asked. Sleep training is the process of getting a baby to sleep through the night through a variety of behavioral techniques in the extreme by letting a baby cry it out in a room without a parent's responsive soothing or feeding. After a couple of days, the logic goes, the baby gets used to it and learns to sleep alone through the night.
And that's so sad because they don't get used to it. They just give up.
Yeah. It goes on. The school of sleep training. In here, crying in babies is not a misbehavior to be modified. It also says that many Americans want their children to learn to be independent as early as possible. Forcing a baby to manage herself alone is not the way to foster independence. And it goes on. I'm not going to read onto it too much because we're going to talk about it. But
yeah.
I just thought I'd pull it up just to sort of see the variety and the difference of, you know, because out there, the people that are going to be listening are going to sort of, well, I do believe in it or I don't believe in it. And this is my experience, so on and so forth.
Well, when did like sleep become so controversial? Like, when did it become such a thing?
Yeah. Like, when did we decide that there was a right way and a wrong way to sleep? And that, I mean, for me, part of it is like, why did we decide that sleeping with your child was suddenly wrong?
Well, for most of human history, parents slept with their kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like in the same bed and or very close into the same room. And it wasn't like they were like, oh, 6 months. Okay, you need to get out now.
Do we know when that started to end? Tanya, you'd probably know that.
There is some of it is the idea that we are supposed to have a nuclear family. So we did see a huge increase.
Is that the 50s after then? This,
yeah, well, 50s. Did a lot of damage to social sciences.
Well, this is going to touch on when I had my kids and you were discussing about how the formula companies used to tell mothers that the formula was made for the mothers. And I wonder if that was when the like kind of started to change, because people would give breastfed babies typically wake up more throughout the night. And the formula babies, they tend to sleep longer. And I wonder if that's kind of when the shift happened, when it was in the 50s, 60s, is when that became like a really big thing. Right? And so, again, I am not a physician. I don't know any of the... I'm just going off of what I've looked up on the internet.
Well, I've done a lot of work with LCing or lactation consultants, and I've done a lot with my doula work. And I do believe that people need to do it what works for their family.
Absolutely.
As long as they have the information that they have. Because we do see such a shocking amount of misinformation out there that it's hard to keep quiet. Like, it is hard to keep quiet. And that... unfortunately, does tend to fuel the debate, which causes polarization, which can cause more issues. But formula definitely has its benefits. There's a lot of good things about it. You know, there definitely used to be more problems with failure to thrive when we didn't have healthier formulas.
Yes.
There were companies that had recipes with their sweetened condensed milk on how to turn that into baby formula before we had sort of standardized nutrition. And they do work all the time on increasing that nutrition and increasing it to be as... they always keep trying to... as they examine breast milk, they try to do the same sort of thing with formula.
Yeah.
No, they haven't made it exactly the same or even really all that close to it.
It's not...
But
it's
they
not...
have... they have created something that will definitely help a baby thrive.
And that is it, that, like, and let's just... preface at this that, you know, breastfeeding or using formula, whatever you have to do for yourself, that is complete. Like, I just don't want anyone to be like, oh, we're gonna write in.
Oh, I know.
Right? So yeah. It's like, I don't want anyone to think that we are making them feel bad if they couldn't breastfeed, because there's lots of situations or whatever, right? But they're because I know
there's some situations.
Yeah, I know that a few of my friends have had to, and it was like the hardest thing for them to actually like go, because their daughter was like, oh, well, she's not thriving, and she's just a tiny baby. Like, even now, she's still tiny, but they went and then they had to switch to dairy-free formula, which is a whole other...
Oh, don't even get me started about all the different things. It's so complicated. Like, it's so personalized and complicated. But taking it back to co-sleeping, co-sleeping definitely helps, no matter what your co-sleeping situation. Whether you are reactive in that you co-sleep when it is necessary, whether you have the child in the room with you, which is standard practice now, but my oldest is 18, and it was not standard practice to do it then.
And that was not that long ago.
They were still taking kids away from you if you got the wrong FNCS person. Mm-hmm. They would take the kid away from you first and then check to see whether or not it was a good situation, because it was considered very taboo to not do it. But now it's so much more common that it's not even a question. Not even a question.
Yeah.
As long as the sleeping arrangements are safe. And there is some debate as to whether or not things are safe in certain situations. But the breastfeeding aspect is definitely helpful if you have the child in the same room as you, at the very least.
Yes. So I'm just doing some research here. It says about 500 years ago is when Western societies decided that the family should start sleeping apart from each other.
500 years ago.
That's what was
kind of, yeah, because you're seeing things like the division between the upper echelon of society and mm-hmm. the regular folk. Children were often sent off to be fostered for their own safety, for fashion, for circumstance.
You should, yeah, this is really interesting. They're talking about historical records from Northern Europe show that Catholic priests heard confessions from destitute women who had overlain onto their newborn, so like they've rolled over onto their and that was like causing the suffocation, and that's basically I think that's the earliest record. So instead of having medical records, they would have
confessionals. Well, they didn't have doctors really, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of when the shifts started to happen.
Did it happen then, or is it that just because we have records, or were we seeing more of the idea that it was, it made you look rich and fabulous if you were able to afford not to live in all in one room with the cows?
Probably.
That you could step out of that. We must have lots of heirs for our throne thing means that if you stop breastfeeding your baby, you become fertile again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So by giving the child off actually, to a wet nurse...
Is that a biological thing?
Like, yes. Absolutely, it can happen. It happens actually not just with humans. It can happen with a lot of animals, assuming that there's, you know, add all the biological disclaimers to that. But absolutely, you increase your chances of fertility in the first year because your body thinks that the baby's gone. So it's like, well, you've already had one baby. Let's get another baby going. Yeah. Give the baby to a wet nurse, now you can have another baby.
And so I, you know, when I breastfed Mason, it was for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I breastfed him for longer, but I didn't get my period for 10 months.
Yeah.
I got my period for a month. And then the next month I got pregnant.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Totally can happen.
For a month. And then Bronson, I breastfed him, and I still am, which is like extended breastfeeding.
So
normal breastfeeding, yes, as opposed to truncated breastfeeding.
Yes.
It is not extended, it is normal.
500 years ago, is that why they would have, had a wet nurse? Is it actually for women to have more babies?
Yes.
Exactly why?
That's not exactly, there's lots of reasons to do it, but that is definitely one of the reasons why. I mean, they were fully aware of how it happened, so if you can have quicker fertility returning, you can have another baby again, and you've got the staff for it. So do it.
Yeah.
People do it now. People are like, I want all my kids to be close in age. Mm-hmm. So they choose to have their children close in age. They've got to be fertile for that to happen. And we're aware of how we're fertile and how we're not fertile. People back then were as well.
So how did not co-sleeping reflect that society's attitude?
I think it honestly had more to do with fashion. It makes us look richer. It makes us look like we're more prosperous. Just
an image thing.
An image thing.
Right.
Like, don't you dare, air quotes, don't you dare tell in a mom group, I still co-sleep with my kids, and because they just chew you up.
Oh my God. I had to give up on one of the mom groups here with my second one, because they, every time I mentioned, and not angrily mentioned, but just like, we co-sleep, or we breastfeed, I couldn't breastfeed, and then it would be like, I'm really sorry that happened to you, and then there'd be an attack, basically, and I just gave up. I didn't have time for it. After a second kid, I just didn't have time for that.
And it sucks, because I don't know where that came from, but it's like, I feel like parents that formula feed and they do things with the bottle and the crib and stuff, right? That if you are like, oh, I breastfeed and I co-sleep, it's like they think that you're attacking them just yes. by, and I, and it's not like that. I don't think I'm better than somebody that had to bottle feed and put, like, if that's what you wanted to do, my anxiety and my thing, like, I couldn't handle, like, my kid's almost five. And I still can't even think about putting him in his own room because I'm like, what if my, now my thought has been, what if someone breaks into the house and takes him and I can't hear him? That's now where my...
Oh, tigers through the window
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. What if someone comes and takes him?
That's a really common sort of feeling for mothers to have. Lots of people describe, whether or not they bottle feed or breastfeed, although it seems to happen a lot more with people that breastfeed. So I assume it has something to do with...
Yeah, well, like
the amygdala and hormones and that sort of a thing.
So we're taking care of a deeper human fear and
so
concern
many mothers,
by co-sleeping.
Yeah, is so that, many okay. mothers imagine fighting off a tiger. And tiger is actually, like, tigers, bears, like, it's always a big predator. And they're like, I had dreams about it. Or I'm sitting here nursing my newborn and I'm imagining that this tiger is forcing its way through the window. And, like, have to talk myself down from that feeling of anxiousness. And I think that's all left over. I mean, we evolved a lot longer being,
could you,
you know, with big predators as being dangerous.
Could
you know
imagine
what I mean? To us,
live through that. Like
they did.
The back. Yeah, like, that's hard to actually like, kind of sit, put yourself in.
Yeah, like I know that they did, but could you imagine that? Like that
yes,
would just
unfortunately,
be like,
I have imagined it many times, and that's the problem.
I know you have.
Right? It's like, ooh. That's scary. Okay, yeah. I have to put that out of my mind because it's probably not going to happen. So, yeah. But yeah, I think part of it. But I also think that like we are in tribal groups and we want to sleep with our kids. Why wouldn't we? It makes sense. It changes our sleep patterns. And not necessarily for the worse. We actually tend to have better sleep patterns than people
Much
who don't.
Better.
Yes.
So I remember when I came home with my first, it was like a big thing where everyone wanted me to put Mason into a bassinet.
Right.
And so I put him in the bassinet and I'm like, from the day one when he came out of me, both of my kids co-slept with me in the hospital bed.
Yep. Yeah, the hospital didn't seem to have a problem with me doing it.
So when I had Mason, they were kind of like, well, here's his bassinet. I was like, well, you can take it because I'm not going to need it. It'll be a place where I put my bags. And they were kind of like, I was like, no. No, I'm like, oh, well, so, I'm like, that's fine. I'm not sleeping much anyways. You just cut my stomach open and I have staples. I'm not really sleeping much right now. Like,
so
don't worry.
I'm going to throw the bloke perspective into this.
Yes, please.
Because
do.
I've heard this personally between you and I, Tanya, that, you know, these mums get really offended or are offensive in all these ways. Is this... I'm going to say it this way, the female role,
like I am female, here
yeah, that kind of thing. Like, I mean, us guys have that, so I'm sort of, is this the equal of that? Like, if okay, so is not being able to latch on the equal of, you know, being like, you know, a small dick or 2 minute man type. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing that worries men.
That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean? Because that sort of thing, those are the sorts of things that men feel deeply and wonder if they're actually male enough. Is that the female mum version of it?
I think so. Because I think that part of it is, I think most of the people I've ever talked to want to try. You hear that all the time. Well, at least I'm going to try. And the reason why they say they're going to try is they're pretty sure they're not going to be able to do it. They've been told they can't.
It's very true.
I had a lot of trouble with it with my first for a few different reasons. I mean, he had a rear tongue tie, which was not something they diagnosed back then. They didn't recognize them yet.
Yeah.
So he had trouble getting a proper latch, which made him angry, and then he let go. I had terrible blisters and terrible... just everything was wrong. The current state for latching was like... a symmetrical latch where they go straight on like a little bullseye. And the asymmetrical latch was just coming in. And you'd think it wouldn't have to be that complicated. You just put the baby on. But everybody has an opinion. Everybody's trying to fix it. And everything hurts. And I ended up doing it. And it was like 6 weeks to 8 weeks of unmitigated hell. It was so hard. I'm like, I know why people give up. I totally know why people give up. My doula had said to me, she goes, do you want to breastfeed? I'm like, well, yeah, absolutely. I want to try.
Yeah.
She goes, I think we can do more than just try. And one of the things she did was she took formula out of the house.
That's what you did to me.
Yes,
when,
I did.
Like, because when you have a baby here in Canada and you sign up for your stuff, they will send you all the formula things. And it's I guess they get money from them, all the like hospitals and stuff like that. Or like
they're not supposed to, but there are still, yeah,
they
there's
definitely sent stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember it was before I even was ready to have the baby, you were like, I'm going to take this and we're going to leave it at my house. And if you need it, then that's fine.
Yep. But I will bring it over in the middle of the night if you need it.
And, but it's just like, we don't, you are going to be able to do this. And I did, like, and fucking right, I could, because I had a shitty labor. So at least I could have done is been able to breastfeed.
Like, yeah. Shit. And I mean, because it's it's not rocket science, but it also is a learning curve. And we don't see people breastfeeding enough to get that innate learning of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that really scares me with my daughter is, will she see lots of mothers nursing enough to be able to know how to nurse her, like to nurse her own baby as endemically as, you know, somebody in a culture where they see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because bottles are heavily pushed, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're super fun. Like if you have a doll and it comes with a bottle, it's like super fun.
Yeah.
And I understand that is fun. I mean, I let her have those sort of things. She's so cute because she's like, it's okay. I'll give my baby nannies first. And then if they need a bottle, it'll be okay. So because she hears me say all this stuff. Well, and that was true,
the funny
right?
thing because with her.
But she's learning that.
When she first got toys with, you know, dolls and babies and bottles and things, that's the first thing she did. She kind of knew that, you know, the bottle is meant for the baby, and she'd been breastfed. She was old enough to know that she was being breastfed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, she was breastfed through till five?
Six.
Six. And
don't write.
I don't know.
I can literally, like, there's that cat meme where they're like, and I can just like hear all the people like,
yeah.
I will, to those out there, I do have an opinion, and I'm sure that I will let you know. But she was handling it like that was more natural than breastfeeding.
Yeah.
My own kid, damn it.
Yeah, but then when we explained to her, it's like, no, you know what? Why don't you give your baby nunnies instead? She sort of blinked, and it's like, oh, I could give my baby nunnies. Right. Yeah. That's right. That, okay.
That's a whole other conversation where I was just going in my head. But, you know, that's how far the information has been pushed that I think it passes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was so much her world. Like, it was so endemic that she didn't even recognize it as something that she did. Like a really good example is my oldest child is male, and he breastfed till he was 3 weeks shy of his fifth birthday, and he doesn't remember it. He remembers going to Disney World at three, but he doesn't remember nursing, and not because he was embarrassed by it or anything like that.
He just doesn't remember it.
It was as natural as going to the washroom. It was as natural as going to bed at night. It didn't mean anything to him in a bad way. It was just the way it was. That was just what he had.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time, too, like when you're co-sleeping, you're nursing your baby and they're asleep. Like the whole image of, like, you know, the commercial with the crying baby at the other end of the hallway that you then get up and go downstairs and you make your formula and you cook the formula in the microwave. Or don't cook it in the microwave. Please don't cook it in the microwave. And just don't do it. And then you take it back up and the dad feeds the baby. Isn't really very sustainable or realistic.
No.
Right?
My whole experience with that was that I pretty much slept through it when you were breastfeeding at night.
Was Rose crying all the time?
No.
She didn't cry at all?
I think she woke up and that was about it.
She
just snuggled and made a couple of noises. And I guess, I don't remember if there was a noise that sort of indicated that, you know, she was going to...
There is.
There was, I'm sure there was, but I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
because it was so minimal.
But that's it. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, I know, like, I remember when I was talking to you about it, was that you kind of woke up, but you weren't 100%. You sort of groggy awake, and able to sort of put one thing in place of into the other, and she can continue until she stopped.
Yeah. Until when she was first really little. It had been a long time since I'd nursed. And she was very little, and of course she was preemie on top of it, which just made it harder. I had to turn on the light to get sort of a better sort vision. Of view and vision of everything while I tried to make sure she latched the right way and everything like that, so that she didn't fall off and whatever. But then after a few weeks, and when I say a few weeks, like 3 weeks to a month, I didn't have to turn that light on anymore. It was easier to just pop her on in the dark. She was so tiny that I couldn't sideline nursing because she couldn't, like, my breasts weren't big enough to sort of sag down to the mattress.
Can I just say, when I figured out how to, like, lay down nurse, it was, like, game changer.
Oh, like, angels singing.
That was the other thing. Now, did we, I thought we had a, because she was small, because she was a little bit early, that she had a, it was like a pillow or something.
Yes.
That she wouldn't roll when she was lying down in between you and I.
Trying to remember. Like, oh, that? We had a wedge.
A wedge, that's it.
Yeah, but no, she didn't really roll much. But yeah, no. We had like a little wedge thing just to make sure.
I guess I'm sort of going.
Almost like a little cot in between us. We have a big king size bed. Yes, we followed all the protocols that we're supposed to, but we were comfortable and willing to take on the responsibility of having our experienced co-sleeper. So just keep all of that in mind. We don't drink, we don't smoke, we're not obese.
And also, you don't sleep with 1,000 pillows and blankets.
No, we stripped the bed down of all of those things while she was super, super young. And because it's, you know, advice makes sense. Like, if we're paying attention to the advice and it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so we make sure that there's no big bolsters and pillows and pillow shams and stuff like that and stuffies and whatever else. Absolutely.
I remember when I brought both of them home, and it was like wearing cardigans was my new best friend because I didn't want to have a lot of blankets on the bed. So I would have like one blanket on.
Yes.
And then I basically would just go to bed with a cardigan on and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Because when they were small, they were always in my arms.
Right.
Right. And then like I was the mom that tandem nursed and co-slept.
That's right. You did too.
So I had Mason's crib. I took the side off of it, zip tied it to my bed.
That's right.
So it wouldn't move. And so Mason slept in that, and then me and Bronson slept in the bed, and Tom just slept on the couch. He just moved out.
He could have chosen. There was plenty of space, just so everybody knows that.
Yeah, no, but he just decided not to, because he was like, oh, the tossing turn, but it's more the fact that he tosses and turns so much. Like, he didn't feel like everyone would get a decent night's sleep, so...
Yeah, so he made a choice. And the nice thing about us having houses with comfy couches is those things are an option.
Yeah, and now that's where he lives.
Yeah.
Is on the couch.
But same, he works nights too.
Yeah, so. He works three different shifts.
Yeah, so sleeping on the couch is not necessarily...
it's not a bad thing, though, no. Because he would wake us all up, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, and what's interesting, Arthur, usually at this time of year, when it's not a pandemic, Arthur usually sleeps on the couch for about a month. It's like this after Christmas, after our season being really busy... I don't know. It's just one of his things. He'll fall asleep to watching something.
Yeah.
But then if he gets up to come to bed, he's awake. And he's not just a little bit awake. He'll be up for the rest of the night. So I'm like we work together and we live together and we do everything together. So there isn't any sort of like, oh my God, I don't get any time with you if you don't come to bed. For us, I'm like, why don't you just, if you fall asleep on the couch, why don't you just stay there, stay there until you have to get up and pee, or stay there until, you know, like, however you're comfortable. And it was like that was a game changer, because it was like, oh, that's right, we own the whole house. Like, it's not like at night the couch becomes somebody else's house. No, if we want to sleep on it, if I want to sleep on my floor, I feel like I should be able to sleep on my floor.
I had a problem with that. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be sleeping in bed.
Yeah, I think the idea was go to the couch, you're in trouble. Like, it's like you've had a fight or something. And it's like, no, it means you've fallen asleep watching that submarine movie of yours, for the 56th time.
56.
And
is that a thing that all guys do? They just watch the same show over and
over?
No, because I totally do that too. But he does as well.
I have shows from the 80s, movies from the 80s that I really watch over and over again.
But especially since we live together and work together. It gives him just that little bit of space, and he'll usually do it for like a month, or maybe he'll come in the middle of the night, you know, he'll be like, oh, I'm coming in now for whatever.
Yeah.
And we actually found it was actually an increase of intimacy in a way, because there wasn't this sort of artificial, you must sleep here, we have to pretend that we're in like a sitcom or something where we always sleep in the same bed and we always sleep. My mom and her husband have separate bedrooms, absolutely. Because he kicks all night and she wakes up really easily.
Yeah.
So if they want to cuddle, they go to one bed, and then one of them gets up and goes to the other bed when they want to. And she loves it. She says it's so much better than the whole idea that somehow she's supposed to, you know, be in the same bed with. She just thought that's what she was supposed to do with her first marriage. She goes, and she says, I really didn't.
That's one of the weird things about people, is that there's supposed to be this standard image idea that we're all supposed to bloody well live up to. And people are just such awkward and different beings.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that, you know, they've
like, there's like no rules. Like that weird really, 50s, you know, what we're supposed to have like separate beds and the same thing. But then all of a sudden now we're supposed to co-sleep with our husbands
but
or
not
wives.
But not with our kids.
But not with our kids.
Did you see the article about how and it's one that's been floating around, but it's resurfaced again, about how your kids should not come first before your marriage?
Gotcha. Yes, because small, helpless beings that you are legally responsible for should never come before a fully grown, mature adult.
Right. And that's what, like, I'm just like,
actually read the article. I shouldn't be that
but
angry.
But that's literally what, like, you know, that you basically need to nurture your relationship with your significant other, because that's how, like, that's an important thing. It's like, yes, I get that, but I'm also responsible for two tiny humans that rely
on us. You know, maybe we take, you know, maybe we're able to nurture all of those things equally in their own right.
I find it so odd that society and Facebook more so, or the people that make these, and I swear to God they do it just because they're like, this is gonna piss off people, but it's like fucking boxes.
Yes, has to be
here's
a box.
Four boxes, and that's all that you can fit into, and if you don't fit into those four boxes, then you're fucked up.
Well, right? Our household is obviously unusual.
Yeah.
The artists at home were kind of known for being unusual. But I feel that it nurtures our relationship. Mm-hmm. If you actually have autonomy over your own body to sleep where you want to.
Yeah.
And that I don't have to sleep in the same bed as my partner. Because why? Because somehow I have to always be 24/7 ready for sex because I'm owned by a man. No. Like, what kind
I own
of...
you?
No.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. When did that happen? There's like, wait, when did this happen?
When did this happen? Yeah. Come on.
When did this happen? I'm sorry.
No, but like, that's where it comes from. It's like, what? Why would you have
How many of you can I own? Can I own a few?
Nice try. Like, that'll be next
like
week.
Like a Chevy and a
that'll
Ford.
Be next week's podcast.
Next week's podcast will be
Dodge
done.
Girl and a Chevy. No?
Doesn't no,
work.
No,
all right, I'm sorry. I'm making jokes.
You literally get us two and that's it.
Yeah, just the two of us. That's it.
Because I don't, I'll stab anybody else. Scorpio or
Oh, Scorpios. But yeah, like that, like why? Why do we have to only sleep with our partners? Why can't we just, you know, now this being said, I have friends who they put all of their mattresses in their rec room in the basement, and people's bedrooms were for them to go and have private time.
Yeah.
And the basement was for them all to sleep, and they shifted the mattresses around as they needed
to.
That's
so cool.
It really worked for them.
I saw, it's not like, so you have, there's like the king size, the California king, and there's, and this guy, he named off like four different types of king size before it got to the one that he has, and it's huge, and it's like a massive family bed. And he made the entire one half of his room just like a big family bed, and I'm like, that is so awesome. If I know my two toddlers, they would just take that shit all the way
up. You know what the dumb thing is about that? Because I've slept in, you know, single mattresses my whole life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just, and then I get into this king size bed,
and
I only
before?
Take up that much bloody space.
Yeah. Well, like... see, we started co-sleeping with Rose on a futon.
It was like a single bed or like a double bed.
It was like a double futon, and she had like I don't know how we fit. I really don't know how we fit, even though she was a creamy.
I learned
because he slept on the floor, half on the floor, half on the bed.
What I had learned by co-sleeping. Used to sleep in one position and stay in that position because I was so aware of
where she was.
Do you know what I mean? Because
and she laid back
like the article said, she laid back and she spread her arms out, and I'm a light sleeper. Like she touches me and I'll wake up.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, someone goes to the washroom and then I'm like, God damn it, because I'm awake, you know.
Yep.
So
Yeah, he is. He's a really light sleeper.
Okay, I'm going to come over at 3 o'clock in the morning and ring your doorbell.
Yeah, don't you bloody dare.
Coldest night of the year, I'm like, bing!
You got to be careful. You got to be careful because I'm armed.
Don't say stuff like that on the air.
Oh, oops, shit, I shot Brittany.
You don't have a gun.
No, but he would be a drive-by fruiting.
A drive-by fruiting. Find oranges in the morning because no one will eat them here.
Right. Just throwing them out the window.
There is something wrong with you.
Right.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
But back to the co-sleeping. So with me, I have found that I, when I started to co-sleep, I learned how to nestle them into my arm and like scoop up my legs. And even now, I've noticed that the way that I sleep with them has almost made it to the point where I should probably just buy them a weighted blanket because they're used to me sleeping with my leg, like my right leg, kind of crossed over them, over their legs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're under my arms and I have my leg and they're just like nestled in there. And Bronson, like, he still sleeps like that. So Mason has his single bed.
Right.
In my room still. And I had a crib that I took apart, and when I moved my bedroom around, I was like, this isn't gonna work. So I went out and I got like 6 skids and I made a skid bed.
Okay.
And I put his mattress on top of that and I pushed my king size bed up against the wall.
Yeah.
And so now he sleeps on his mattress beside me and he wakes up and he's like, mom, and he crawls all over. And now it's nursing when he was younger would help me sleep.
Oh, for sure. Well, it relaxes you, right?
Yeah. Now I'm like, it's getting to the point where I'm like annoyed with it. Like,
oh, yeah. Like, and I'm all done now.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, he's going through a growth spurt or something.
Is Mason or Bronson?
So Mason actually weaned himself when Bronson was a few months old.
Okay.
Because
I thought so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So like I had him in May and by August,
he was
of
done.
2018, Mason was done.
Okay.
Because I dry nursed Mason.
All through your pregnancy?
All through my pregnancy.
Yes.
Which was
what's
like...
Dry, what's dry nursing?
My milk dried up at 17 weeks, and then I just dry nursed him and wanted to pull my hair out the entire time.
So he was sucking, but there was nothing coming out?
Yeah, or there's very little.
There's little enough that you can't pump it out, but
yeah.
They're very efficient at getting
very,
things out.
Yeah, very,
but
very good.
He maybe wasn't getting as much.
And so he naturally
really common
himself.
In pregnancy. Okay.
And I joke now, I'm like, I should just go get pregnant again and then my milk would dry up and then Bronson would stop nursing. I'm like, because I'm like, I told someone, I was like, I don't know how to stop nursing. Like, I just like, how do you do this? Like, I don't, and I know that like you
I
just,
can help you with a little bit of that too.
Because
we can
I
talk about
because
that
I just, I don't, I want to, like, I'm glad that I have nursed him for as long. And I don't want to nurse until he's 6. Not that's because, like,
no,
and I know that, like, that would be good for him. But it's just, like, me, myself. I'm at the point now where I'm, like, I am so touched out. I have you in my bed with me. Mm-hmm. I have you nursing all of the time. I get literally zero time to myself.
Yeah.
And it's, like, getting to the point now, especially with the pandemic, I'm, like, my head's going to explode.
Yeah. They do have a slowdown after, like, 3.5-ish. I noticed that it was sort of, like, oh, he really will nurse till he's 18. Because it was just, like, it was, like, once a day, twice a day, and I'm like, why am I even bothering? And then just as I would be like, maybe I should just stop, he'd get sick or something like that, you know, and it would sort of keep it going for a little while longer.
I was literally gonna ask the doctor for the meds to like stop my milk thing, and then COVID hit and I was like, well, guess we're nursing until this is gone.
Yeah
I'm just like, well, like, I guess that's a no-go.
Yeah.
Because they can give you stuff to like dry it up. Because I was like, I'm done with it. Like, I don't want to deal with this. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And now it's...
There's ways to have boundaries on that when they're old enough to understand them as well.
He knows. Like, he is very smart. And I will let him nurse. And now I just count to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. And
that's a really good way to do it.
And now, and of course, he's a double side. So it's like he wants to go on the left side. And then he wants to go to the right side. Then he wants to go back to the left side. And then he's done.
Oh, okay. Patterns. But you see, that pattern could be comforting.
Oops,
so that could be part of the key to having him nurse less, too. Is it's like, instead of nursing, it's like you get the one side, and then it's when you're on this side, we do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I tickle you. So instead of him actually being nursed, he's just being snuggled.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you make the choice to flip him to the other side. And then you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tickles.
Yeah.
Ah, like that. And then they'll often forget, right? Or it's like, oh, let's go get those. Let's go get those grapes.
Yeah.
Because that sounds. There's anything wrong with comfort nursing, because you know what? Comfort nursing is comforting. So the idea that somehow that's wrong is totally ridiculous.
Yes.
But if he is comfort nursing, it's also easier for him to be distracted from it.
And I couldn't imagine being a non-co-sleeping mom. Because
yeah, totally.
If I had both my kids in their own beds
yeah.
at 6 months and I was still nursing them both, I think I would have probably just
I'm beginning to see how short childhood is, and
yeah,
I think
it's very
that
short.
From my experience, if someone was to ask me that, if you don't co-sleep, you are missing out on an important part to a childhood that they are likely to forget and that you are not.
Yes.
And
yeah.
you, because I can see at the end of all this, I'm going to be stuck with a bunch of memories. And a kid who's a teen, who's an adult, goes, so what did I do? Because I do that. I wish my mum was around so I could ask her questions. My dad's here. I ask him questions. So what was I like as a kid?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I would like to be able to have that information. And, you know, I think co-sleeping is really important for a parent as well yeah. as...
And hopefully we're teaching her later, for later in her life to have, or his life... to have a way of comforting their own children
yeah.
that is functional and healthy and can help relieve anxiety and stuff like that with yeah. whatever they have. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we always want, right? We all want those sort of things. Now, have you received stigma as a guy mentioning it to, like, another male
won't. I won't, because any person, any bloke that tries to touch me about co-sleeping, I will give them what for.
Yeah, but has anyone said anything to
you? They can't. I don't think. I mean, I'm in Canada. I don't have a whole bunch of close friends. It's just an immigrant thing. But whenever I said this is the same thing. I think when I was talking to Tom about having midwives,
yeah.
and he was all very nervous about it, and I think that particular attitude is probably rife amongst guys that have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm an odd character, I'm pretty sure, because there's guys out there, they've got no clue. None. Mm-hmm. Nothing. They know nothing about women, and
other than just the sexual
Other than what their own perspective is, which is, you know, looking around in the dark, really. And whenever if I was to talk to another bloke about it, and I would be like, you make sure that you co-sleep. And learn how to do it. Make sure that it, I mean, it, like, the article says there's risks. Yep, I can actually see that there's risks.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
Can't see that the risks are massive, but you can do a lot of things to stop it. Like, we had a wedge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are things like that you can do until they're big enough, or it's up till 6 months, you know, where they're sort of big enough to sort of be... They control over their own bodies. They can sort of handle
yeah.
themselves. You don't have heavy blankets, all that stuff, right? But yeah, I'd be like, oh, you got to co-sleep.
Because you didn't have any problems with co-sleeping.
No. Like, I didn't. I was a little bit worried at the beginning because I knew that I'm a big bloke.
Yeah.
And especially because Rose was so little when she was born, I wasn't sure how I was going to handle it. But what I kind of did was just fall back onto my my intimacy, my affection for her, that my love for my child would probably work for me as far as, you know, being safe with her. Do you know what I mean? I would
aware.
Figure that something would kick in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
and it does.
It's obvious in women.
Yeah. Not to
it's
insinuate
not so much
that
obvious
someone
in,
who's had this tragedy happen didn't love them. But
of course, absolutely.
You were remarkably aware.
I had to make sure that I was. I figured by watching girls have all those intuition and instinctive things happen because you're mothers and
you're so close.
I thought that there had to be a bloke version of it somewhere.
Yeah,
it's true. There is.
You were very involved and very in tune.
Yeah.
Whereas I felt like, for me, it was a separation between me and my husband.
As in you both didn't agree kind of separation? He was like, I'll just go sleep on the couch now.
It was almost like a really good excuse.
Interesting. Okay.
I have to work. Mm-hmm. I have to do this. I have to do that. And I was a stay-at-home mom. And so I would have the room with the kids. And so it was my job to do all of that because he does the job outside of the house.
Do you think that was his way of being male, of being masculine? It's like now I'm going to be, I protect and I feed and I,
That's literally the only, because I don't think he knew what the fuck he was doing.
I think that's what guys fall back on.
Yeah.
Like because they know what to do when it comes to that. They know to go to work and all that sort of stuff.
Because he wanted me to pump. Because he wanted to breastfeed. Because the better part of the first year of Mason's life, it was, I'm not going to have a connection with him. He's not going to love me. And I was like, listen, I get 1 year. 1 year of them loving me and needing me and not being multi little shits. 1 year. And then they're yours. Then they're yours. But I get one year.
It's so weird.
I'll actually back that up. There is, because I was, when Rose was first born, like the first year at least, there was nothing for me to do.
Oh yeah, yeah. You brought me food.
Relationship with Rose, like there was nothing I could do. I could play with it.
He was the only one that could burp her appropriately. She had a lot of issues because of being a preemie. So he was the one that squeezed all the air out of the baby.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I just picture him being like squishing her eyes, popping
legs
out of her
up to the tummy. But the thing was, I could do those things and that was cool, but there was something that you could do that I could not do, and I had no real knowledge, like inner knowledge of.
But why would you want to? Like, this is what always surprises. I know.
I want to be part of what my kids is. You know.
Yeah, but when there's so many other ways to take care of them, so there's lots of other things.
But they aren't.
They get told that all the time, and then the idea that somehow the only way you can do it is by forcing your wife to do something specific with her body so that you can then
if you have a bottle feed a baby is
a weird concept.
But if you look at anything that you see, all that we are shown is, you know, they don't show very often that, you know, dads will like bath with the babies, because that was the whole thing. Like, oh, you co-sleep, you co-bathe.
Yeah.
And you baby-led wean.
Yeah.
And like, so basically we did everything.
They kind of fit together.
Everything goes, right? And so, and it's not that Tom didn't love being a dad and didn't love being.
Yeah, because he obviously loves his kids a lot.
He just was like, this is not like, because I was a whole new bag of what the fuck. Because he was like, what do you mean? We need to get a crib. Like, we're going to get. And I was like, okay. So I did the nursery for the kid to never sleep in.
Yeah, I had one of those for my first.
Isn't that the thing, though?
It was like, look at this.
It holds so much laundry.
It does. It so does. So, like, look at this room. It's my laundry room, right? And, like, this is where all the shit goes to die because, like, we don't use it. Like, we live in a 3-bedroom house right now. And so we have a massive master. We have a toy room. And then the kids have a big walk-in closet that also goes as my place where I take pictures.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what that room's for.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, we could really probably have a smaller house, except I'd probably have to get rid of some shit. But
yeah. But no, that's a really good point that we had to somehow, have to have their own separate rooms and whatever. But yeah, it's I still think it's a really bizarre idea. No, maybe it's a lot of formula marketing and that sort of a thing. And because I think women should totally be able to go back to work right away if they want to. Like, that's your business with your body. But then I shouldn't also have stigma against my body. If I want my body to feed my babies, which is what I evolved to do, then why should I then have to pump so that my husband can feel better about himself for feeding the baby, which isn't really, I mean, there's nothing wrong with dads who feed their babies or have to, but like, really, you can't find something else to do that makes you feel good about yourself than taking this
from
me?
There's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do.
It was great.
I think if I was going to tell a guy right now is that said, for the moment, for a year, shut up, take the back seat.
I needed you to protect me. See, like, I needed you to be there.
That's it. That's
saying
what we
to
can
people,
do.
She needs to sleep. Like, you know, or here, I'll feed you. I'll do this. Just like you did when I was pregnant. Like, you drove out and got, you know, and got stuff to make spaghetti because I was crying because, yes, I was crying because I didn't have spaghetti sauce in the house.
Okay. Please don't feel bad about that. If you're out there and you're pregnant and you're freaking out, I'm here to tell you, you may eat whatever you like. And if the motherfucker out there doesn't get it for you, I will.
He would
call
too.
Me.
Yeah.
He literally.
Please write in.
Yeah, please write in. I cried myself to sleep because I wanted spaghetti and meat sauce, and we weren't having that for dinner. And apparently, the fact I lived 2 kilometers from a grocery store was too much for me to do. So I went to bed and cried myself to sleep. And when I woke up, he'd made me spaghetti sauce. But
and Tom,
you know,
totally did that too. But it was like,
it's like, so why do they want to feed the baby?
We got married.
We don't want to feed the baby. It's, I don't think it's about feeding
the
baby.
No, they just,
but
they want to feel
there's an intimacy that you miss out on.
So it's the best way to explain it is like, it was watching my relationship disintegrate from being a us, like a me and him, to a you, like now it's my focus on somebody else. And it was almost like a jealousy thing, or
yeah,
because he didn't feel like I was paying attention to him. He felt like I forgot about him.
Oh. And I think a lot of dads can
feel
that.
That's how a lot of guys feel, because you are like, I meet Arthur. Oh, Arthur, me and you are dating. I wanna have all the sex and do all of the things, and then we have a baby and I'm like, fuck you, I'm gonna watch this baby now. I'm gonna take care of this baby. And it's like, I'm so, oh, the baby did this today, oh, the baby, and you know, you don't spend time with them because you're worried about the baby. They get up, they go to work, they come home, and it's like all you have to talk about is the baby did this, and you sometimes forget to ask how their day is.
This is true too, but is this part of our culture's infantilization of men?
Maybe. You know what? I'm going to stop you there. There is that aspect, but I don't think it's that. I think part of it, well, maybe it is. I think part of it is that guys on their own barely have the skills to deal with themselves. Do you know what I mean?
It's
and
true.
So when it comes down to showing love and affection and care for a child, they have to reorient themselves. And even if the reorientation is a little bit skew-if, it takes them a little bit to do it. So the idea is that here's this person that the only other closest kind of person that's ever been to you is your mum. Because the next closest thing that's going to show you any kind of love is a girlfriend, wife.
Right.
And as soon as that, because the attention, it's well, like that's not men having a society like women do. Women have a society. Men really don't. I mean, at the very, very worst,
yeah.
Guys get together, drink beer, and talk about cars. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of what that is. But there isn't a talking about of not. Oh, geez, I feel really crappy today. But it's like, yeah, I'm struggling with something.
Well,
like,
maybe
there's a depression going on. I don't know how to deal with that. Who do I talk to?
Because men can also get postpartum depression, but no one talks about it.
Yes, that's right. That somehow men are supposed to just deal with all of these changes.
And so it turns out that Tom had postpartum depression as a man.
Oh.
That's like, that was something because we got married and he literally, all of his friendships disintegrated.
Because it was too,
because
they weren't married?
No,
or?
It was because of our relationship.
Oh,
because
okay.
A lot of people didn't approve of our relationship. It is what it is. I have no problems saying it, but that's what it was. And his relationship's disintegrated. And it's because it's not that he doesn't want any.
He has us.
It's just he doesn't. He works, and he, I think that is the biggest problem, is that a lot of guys, when you are the couple that doesn't have kids, and then you have kids, and then your other friends do not have kids, they don't really have anything to talk to you about anymore.
It's true. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we all remember that switchover.
Right? It's a shift, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck blokes. Fuck them.
Well, and that's just like...
this shit. I have girlfriends anyway.
I find that I have a good number of both. I have a good number of guy friends and girls. My guy friends, I just like, I talk so much like boys with them. Like, we're just like, we're so disgusting. We're just so gross when we talk to each other. And I have my girlfriends and we talk about all of the things. And it's like seeing the like flip side about how guys are very monotone. They don't talk about their feelings. Mind you, they'll talk with me about
I was going to say, yeah, I find
but
that
they
a lot of my male friends will.
With their buddies.
Yeah.
They're very, right?
But that's a cultural stigma
right? And then it's like, and that goes up back to like when I was going through my stuff, it was really hard for me when I was struggling and having like my emotional breakdowns or whatever. But going to bed and crawling in and having this like little tiny human who's like laying next to me and you can like watch them breathe. And it's like all night you're not like, because you're not communicating in a verbal sense, but you're communicating in a sense of like love with your infant totally. Who's there. And it like, it kind of fills your cup up a little bit.
Yes.
Right? Because when everything else was like kind of like crumbling down, it was like that little bit of, you know, having this human that just wanted to lay on top of your arm and would just lay there and you could watch them breathe and you could just like kiss their milk lips and you're just aww. Like, oh, they're so cute, right?
Yes.
Whereas if they were in a different room, it would be like you'd be kind of looking at them on a monitor or peeking in to see if they were awake and stuff. And it was just like, it made me feel kind of connected. And it, obviously when you have kids, you have a purpose, but it made me feel more like I had a purpose because they were there all the time. Like I didn't.
You were parenting at night as well.
24 hours a day, 7 days
in a very connected way.
Yeah. And now they're going to be 3 and 5. And I'm like, okay, you guys can go to college now. You guys can get out now. But
those days feel like that. Like lots of times, you know, there's those days and they're so stressful. And it's the nighttime that gives you that little reconnection. Because you know what? That's what we do with our partners, mm-hmm. right? It's like things can be busy and whatever. And then we go to bed or we sit in the evening and snuggle up on the couch or whatever your thing is. And that's part of the reconnection. So why we should only have this with one person for the rest of our lives now that we're married or with a partner, mm-hmm. there's no reason why not. You can have that with your children as well, yeah. right?
And I think it's very hard for people that have the upbringing where it's not something that they are shown, that I think that's the hard part because yeah. Tom didn't raise, like he wasn't raised up with that. He's heard about co-sleeping, right? And it's like funny now because when I tell people that they still sleep in my room, I'm constantly asked, oh, when are you going to put them in their own room?
Yeah. It's always. Like, really? That's your only question? That's what you want to know?
And I'm like, why does it bother you so much yep. that they are in my room?
I think that's this thing with trying to make adults, kids adults, and turn them independent is this fear because we have no idea of how to deal with our own stresses as adults. Mm-hmm. Then we've got to start pushing all this toxic bullshit mm-hmm. on the kids at a young age. And their brains don't have any conceptualization for that sort of thing.
No. Yeah.
They are out to play and play and play. And that's how they learn. And it's got to stop, man, because it's, you know, like I said, I think one of the last podcasts we were talking, it's like, you know, the kids are big mirrors. They copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the big hunters went out and hunted and the little hunters went off and did it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just let them figure it out. They're kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Way.
Well, and that's, and when you say that, like, it's true because they mirror you and they want to help and they want to do things. And today, like, going through my like little bit of a ADHD manic phase that I do like in the seasons change.
Okay.
I rip apart my house four times.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Like,
4 times a year without fail.
And this is ADHD, not just you being clean.
It's something that I just
like you actually might be normal.
No. This is something that like I can sense it coming. I know it's coming.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's like, and I call it manic. I don't know if that's the right word, but that's just something that I've kind of called it for myself so I can like peg when it's here and I'm like so tired and I'm like, but I have to, it's because my house is a disaster.
Yeah.
And the toys are everywhere and I'm like, ugh. And I tore apart my entire main floor today and rearranged all of my crystals and did all the stuff. I replanted a plant and I don't even know how I did that because I was pretty freaking tired by noon. I was like, this aww. Is exhausting. But like having my kids there and they wanted to help vacuum and help do things. And it's like, it's funny because I feel like because they were so attached to me because I wore them in slings while I did the like laundry and dishes and cooked and did these. They've been a part of all of that stuff from day one.
Yeah.
Right. And so they want to be involved in all of the things. And I feel like co-sleeping and co-bathing and like we make a point of sitting down and eating supper together, like having all those things, it makes such a big difference than have like in my mind if that's the only time that we can like really connect, because as they get older they're going to start to drift apart.
Yep, I have a teenager, I know, but dinner, we may not always be sitting at the table because we have a big household and a small table, but totally, that might be the only time I get to connect with my teenager. Although we do, I mean, I co-slept with him as well and that sort of thing. And I like to think that sometimes the ease of being able to be like, no, no, come and sit and have dinner with us, okay? And it may not take long, like he may not be there long, but he's there and, you know, he's there if he needs it. Or sometimes I'll just, you know, he'll ask me a question and then he's like, oh, you don't have to go yet. Like I'll go and sit on his bed and I'll be talking to him about something and I'll be like, oh, okay, well, that's great. And then he's like, oh, you don't have to leave yet. And it's like, well, you're playing a video game. I don't, it's fine. Like you're watching a video and playing a video game and you've got music going. It's fine. And then maybe I just sit and play on my phone for a few minutes with him, you know, just to be in the same room and be present.
It's called holding the room.
Holding the room. I love that.
The room. Mm-hmm. You're just like existing with each other.
Yep.
Because that's what he wants.
That's all he needs right now. Yeah. Because he's a very capable, sensible person. And, you know, he is. He's a typical teenager in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But somewhere in there that I hope that one day if he has kids that, you know, he's able to do that.
Do you think that's an effect of the co-sleeping?
I think co-sleeping is part of it, for sure. That's part of it. I don't think any one thing is ever a thing. I think it all, because the idea that if you formula feed, you can't have a connection with your kids is total bullshit. But can you be connected in with more ease and comfort in co-sleeping and breastfeeding and all these other things? I think it definitely has benefits that people don't give it credit for, 100%.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people say things like, I don't co-sleep. And it's like, oh, okay, you don't co-sleep. And it's like, what's the cot in your room? Oh, that's only for when they come in and sleep in my room.
Wasn't there someone...
And it's like, but isn't that co-sleeping? No, it's not co-sleeping. It's only when they need to be here. Then, you know, so it's like they're calling it something else.
Yeah, see, there's no rules. There's no rules. Like, there's a couple that we know that were going to start out with having a crib beside their bed.
Yep.
And then eventually, it's like, no, the baby has to sleep in the bed with us.
Totally.
So I don't mean to interrupt.
We must be getting
you.
Close
oh,
to
yes,
time.
You do.
But it said fathers who bed share, they have benefits. One study found that fathers that co-sleep with their babies, their testosterone dropped.
Okay.
More compared to fathers who slept separately. Men with lower testosterone tend to engage in more sensitive and responsive parenting.
Interesting. I've been hearing a lot about that because you hear about it with when males have a pregnant partner,
yeah,
their testosterone levels will rise.
Yeah.
And then they'll rise, I think, to their highest point during birth, and then they drop after that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's almost like, you know, I don't know, they're watching for those saber-toothed tigers, and then now we have somebody that we have to nurture.
Testosterone doesn't mean shit.
No, but
it doesn't mean. Okay, what I actually mean is that testosterone isn't a male marker.
No, true, because I mean, women
do
can
have
it
mean?
Too.
Because women have it too. We know a trans girl who has huge testosterone levels, apparently, and you know the chemicals that she's taken in order to transform.
Yeah,
her body's competing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So testosterone isn't a marker. I mean, yeah. It's part of the makeup.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting that for...
I mean, I was when Rose was a baby, I was doing weights.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of testosterone there, but I was also... Yeah, I don't know if that's such a good way
well,
to
Well, it's
of,
interesting that they were able to track it as something that happens
I think they're
to
just
dads.
Saying that,
yeah, sure.
Like, but yeah. I think what they're saying is that, like, you just become more aware and you become more in tune rather than... Because what they're... Essentially, what I got from that is that, like, usually it's the mom doing the stuff and the dad's disconnected, and mm-hmm. if you guys are both in the same room and you're there all the time, they're saying that you might come down to a more like sensitive, more attached level than being like, oh, I'm in.
You know what, I will throw out this much, that some guys may sort of distance themselves in order to not sort of follow the test, the to actually maintain the testosterone going in order to focus on protecting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So they have to separate from the loving aspects of a family in order to stay on point.
Mm-hmm.
that you know, that just might be a conscious thing that they might have to make
that's
up and
an
do.
Interesting thing. Yeah
no, for sure. It's been an interesting journey doing it. Would I do it again? Yes,
totally.
I'm glad I did it when I was younger. I don't think I have it in me now.
Yeah, I wasted my life not having babies.
Oh, I did that. I'm 50 and co-sleeping's fine and I have plenty of energy for it. I think it gave me more because I was able to get better sleep than...
Yeah, well, you have more energy than I do because I'm exhausted all the time.
You have two
You've got two kids close together.
That are very, very active.
It's just like, it's never ending.
And having boys and having girls is different.
My iron levels is like good.
Okay, well.
It's good. Like, it's just, I am so friggin' tired. And all, again, like, Mason, do you know how I woke up this morning? Was he smacked my pillow and then smacked me in the face.
Oh, no.
Smacked my pillow, like, full hand, like, bam, 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 and then smacked me in the face. And then, of course, I wake up, like, what? Like, I'm like, you are lucky, because, like, waking up being smacked in the face usually ends up, you're going
to
smack somebody.
That has to be a no. We have to make sure that's a no.
He doesn't understand that. He thinks that's fine because he's playing. He's like playing with He brings dinosaurs and he puts them on his nightside stand.
He wasn't doing it to you. It just
he's playing
happened. Gotcha.
And he's trying to hit his car to make his car jump. And then he hit me in the face and I was in a beautiful sleep. And then naturally what you should do is then reach above mom's head and turn on the bright ass light above my head because that's going to make me really happy.
So that's like.
And so I turn that off and then he gets off. And goes down and he turns off the sound machine. I was like, why do you hate me so much? It is Saturday. Why do I gotta be up at 7 o'clock? Why?
Oh no.
Oh my god. Mornings are that's become a struggle because he just like I swear to God he hates me. He's like 6:15 in the morning. Let's fuck shit up.
Oh no.
I don't need an alarm. Don't need one. I'm getting up. I get up because my kid naturally wakes up in between 6 and 7.
Oh my god, do you think you could trade him in for like a different model?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Ugh. I'm not good at getting up.
No, like
I was liking both of my kids just did not. Yeah, don't hate me, don't write.
But 7 to 7. That is our schedule. They are cranky.
Mine don't go to bed though. Mine never went to bed. So it's like you don't get an evening with my kids because like they don't go to sleep.
Yeah, no,
but
mine,
they do sleep.
We don't get an evening.
Yeah.
No, we don't get an evening.
Now, how has co-sleeping affected your intimacy?
Doesn't seem to really.
I think
that seems to be.
It's,
we have this plan. What about sex? We have this plan where we watch something very boring on the TV, and she falls asleep, and we make her comfortable, and off we go.
And then scamper off,
and then come and get her afterwards.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yep.
Yeah, we have emergency sex. Is what we have.
Emergency sex.
and people
what,
wonder
why. Is that
why.
Where you lock yourself in the bathroom?
It's like emergency sex.
Oh, there we go.
Like, it's like, we're doing it. I was like, you got 5 minutes, so you better make it worth it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then when we get that, like, 30 minutes or 40 minutes, I was like, wow, that was life-changing. Wow, like, you got to spank my ass and pull my hair? Like, that was great. You should...
Thank you for that visual. Thank you for that. Yeah, this is now an R-rated show.
Yeah, we did start talking about co-sleeping, wasn't it?
But we are talking about co-sleeping because
yes. No, that's part
like,
of
no,
it.
No, actually, it's very
it.
True.
It's part of it.
Very
because,
true because it is a big deal. Yeah.
You are sharing.
You are sharing
what
your bed.
What you was once the
and,
two of you.
And let me tell you, before kids, we were porn stars.
Sure.
And now, that's not true.
Yeah.
You're not porn stars anymore. Like, we have to get very creative in the shower. And
yes.
It's like, you know, a few weeks ago, we had to have some private time in the shower. And I was like, I'm surprised the kids didn't, like, barge. Because I swear to God, they know when they come in, they, like, karate chop the door down. And we're like, like, do we just stand there like this? We're like, we're not touching each other, I promise. Like,
well, I mean, we let them watch, like, you know, Marvel movies or whatever it is, where there's violence and people getting shot. And it's like, but don't let them see intimacy because I don't know. Like it's
oh rubbish.
It's okay
every time
to
anybody
shoot people
asks me,
with
this
a machine
is how you
gun,
got
but
here.
Intimacy
Stop
is
it.
Wrong. Yeah.
No, yeah. That's how they got there. Yeah. Come on, grow up.
So yeah. Bronson,
Mommy and Daddy are having private time. Bronson, go back and watch Paw Patrol.
Bronson opened up the curtain the one day and I was like, Bronson, see you and he didn't know what was going on. But he got like so when he opened up the curtain, the water was just like in his face. He's like, Mom, the water And our couch is Cape Birdie.
That's our bird.
Yeah, sorry about the parrot in the background. He hears us laughing and he wants to get in on it.
Well, what is the bird's name? Because they're going to...
Birdie.
Birdie, that's Birdie. His name?
Okay. Yeah. That's the name he goes by. That's the name he prefers and that's the name he chose.
He just wants to say hi. And he's giving us his opinion about...
He's warning us of dingoes, apparently.
Yeah, he's got a new box, and he would really like someone to stand next to his cage while he jumps around in the box in case he gets eaten by dingoes.
He's so mad.
I can't make this stuff up. That's what he told me.
Mm-hmm. She talks to birds.
Of course I talk to the bird.
Oh, my God. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I hope you don't get too upset about, you know, the ass smacking and hair pulling.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be another podcast involving all of that.
That involves, exactly, parenting and ass smacking.
We aren't even touching the sex aspect of things that I want to dive into.
Oh, we totally have to dive into that at some point.
Well, we're going to dive into it.
Yeah.
Balls deep.
She had to go there. She always has to go there.